weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Olympic men's football tournament kicked off Thursday in Japan. In the opening match in Sapporo, Egypt and Spain played to a scoreless draw. In Yokohama, the venue for the 2002 World Cup final, Ivory Coast got off to a good start. The African side beat Saudi Arabia 2-1. Saudi defender Al Amri scored an own goal in the 39th minute to put Ivory Coast in front 1-0. And AC Milan midfielder Franck Kessié scored the winning goal for Ivory Coast in the 66th minute. Olympic host Japan defeated South Africa 1-0 on a goal by Real Madrid player Takefusa Kubo in the 71st minute. In Thursday's other results, Mexico beat France 4-1 in Tokyo. New Zealand beat South Korea 1-0 in Kashima, Japan, on a goal by Burnley striker Chris Wood in the 70th minute. Also in Kashima, Romania beat Honduras 1-0. Australia defeated Argentina 2-0 in Sapporo, Japan. And in a rematch of the 2016 Olympic men's football final, defending Olympic champion Brazil once again beat Germany 4-2 in Yokohama, Japan. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Everton striker Richarlison. He had a hat trick for the Brazilians, and all three of his goals came in the first half. Final from Yokohama, Brazil 4, Germany 2, in a rematch of the 2016 Olympic final on the opening day of men's football action at the Tokyo Olympics.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Thanks, Emmanuel. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Emmanuel scored the winning goal for Nigeria in the men's football final at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics here in the USA. Nigeria beat Argentina 3-2 in that final to become the first African team to win the Olympic gold medal in men's football. Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga and his wife Mariko Suga met U.S. First Lady Jill Biden in Tokyo on Thursday. Jill Biden is leading the U.S. diplomatic delegation to the Tokyo Olympics, as we hear now from the AP, Sagar Meghani.
Jill Biden is off on her first solo overseas trip as First Lady to Japan. Her visit to the Tokyo Olympics comes with COVID-19 surging in Japan. Infections are at a six-month high. The White House says the U.S. delegation will follow strict health protocols.
Limiting engagement with the public, keeping our footprint as small as possible.
At the same time, spokeswoman Jen Psaki says the Bidens put an emphasis on being in Japan for Team USA.
The President and the First Lady felt it was important to have the delegation led at the highest level.
The First Lady will spend roughly 48 hours on the ground in Tokyo, including a virtual visit with American athletes before attending Friday's opening ceremony. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Baseball player Eddie Alvarez and four-time Olympic women's basketball gold medalist Sue Bird have been chosen as the U.S. flag bearers for Friday's opening ceremony in Tokyo. Alvarez and Bird were selected by a vote of other athletes on Team USA. Prior to his baseball career, the 31-year-old Alvarez, the son of Cuban immigrants, won a silver medal in speed skating at the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. As we look forward to Friday's opening ceremony, you can bet the Olympic gear worn by the various teams will make for lively social media discussion by fans around the globe. Picking up the story, here is the AP's Charles de Ledesma.
The year-long wait due to the pandemic has given fashion enthusiasts extra time to ponder what they love or hate. There's the Czech Republic and its traditional indigo block print design with matching fans, already the butt of some jokes. Israel's athletes have see-through nylon jackets with huge pockets, while Armani has decked out Italy's team in tracksuits with a reinterpretation of Japan's rising sun in the colours of the Italian flag. Watch out, too, for Canada's sensible uniform, denim jackets. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
My name is Shida Lane, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Shida, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. Shida is only the second female sprinter ever from Uganda to compete at the Olympics. She will be running in the women's 400 meters event in Tokyo.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Daniel Igale won a gold medal in freestyle wrestling in the 69-kilogram weight class at the 2000 Sydney Games in Australia. In Olympic gymnastics, Uche Eke says he's in good shape for the Tokyo Games as he prepares to make history in the Japanese capital. The 23-year-old Eke will be the first Nigerian gymnast, male or female, to compete at an Olympics. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Uche about his first workout at the Olympic Village in Tokyo.
It went well. You know, I performed well on floor, rings, vault, and horizontal bar. Horizontal bar, that's my favorite, so as well as pommel horse. But I know what I need to do to improve. So in the next hour, it's already 9 p.m. at night. I'm going to go run. Got to keep working out, you know.
Who are your top competitors at these games?
Well, there's the king of gymnastics, which is Kohei Uchimura. He's from Japan. But everyone's a competitor, so I'm just worried about myself, you know. That's all I got to do, just keep my head down, look at myself, you know. That's all that matters.
How do you feel flying Nigeria's flag at the Olympic Games?
It's so important to me, you know. Like, I have friends asking me, I can't wait to watch you on TV holding the Niger flag. I'm like, yeah, boy, that's what I'm going to do. Uche man, tell them. So I got to do it. Even at the ceremony, I can't wait. I can't wait for all of this.
Can you tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners how you've been settling down at the Olympics Games Village in Tokyo?
We got so many athletes here. You know, I see big guys. See, you know, no one here is fat. Everyone here is fit, like strong. And, you know, I look at them, I look at myself, I'm like, all right, I fit in. I'm stronger than you guys. But, yeah, I love it here. Just getting adjusted to the time change. It's 13 hours ahead of from where I'm from the States. So it's crazy, but, you know, we're going to get there.
Do you have any message for your fans at home?
I love you guys. You know, thank you so much for supporting me. I'm raising that Niger flag high and proud. You know, I'm doing this for you guys as well as myself. Been dreaming of this as a kid. So, you know, if you ever struggle with sadness or don't think you can do something, you can look back at me. You know, I did it. That means you guys can do it too. We got that Niger blood. Hey.
Go get him, Uche. That's Uche Eke, who will be the first Nigerian gymnast to compete at an Olympics. Niger blood. And Uche spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tokyo, Japan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In Olympic athletics, triple jumper Hugues Fabrice Zango has a good chance of bringing home Burkina Faso's first ever Olympic medal. Henry Wilkins reports from Ouagadougou.
No Burkinabe has ever won a medal at the Olympic Games. Young athletes like Khalid Sawadogo, though, practicing the triple jump here, are taking inspiration from a former member of the athletics club who looks set to do just that. Sawadogo is 23. He says that when you start athletics in Burkina Faso, you have the impression that you're at the bottom of the ladder. Zango, though, has shown by breaking the world record, jumping more than 18 metres, others can do it as well. Zango leaped into the record books in January, becoming the first person ever to jump more than 18 metres in an indoor triple jump. Optimism about his performance in Tokyo is running high. Speaking to Voice of America via Zoom just before he travelled to Tokyo, Zango said the pressure is mounting because of the expectations on him for the event. We're arriving with a lot of ambitions to bring back Burkina Faso's medal, he says. That's a positive thing. It proves that we can all accomplish great things. Burkina Faso is one of the least developed countries in the world. It's also in the middle of a conflict that has ravaged parts of the country, displacing more than 1.2 million people. Zango said on Twitter this month that winning the country's first medal could help build hope for the country's future. Zango's parents, meanwhile, say the secret to producing an Olympic medal contender is spotting talent early and nurturing it. Jacques Zango, his father, says, "We knew from his early school years he was someone who's curious, who likes to learn and who likes to push himself as far as possible." His mother, Felicite Zango, he always said that to be a good athlete, there are things he couldn't eat. She says she did what she could and helped him change his diet. Zango is also pursuing a PhD in electrical engineering at Artois University in France and fits his athletics career around his studies. Desire Sano, his high school coach, says his former student breaking the world record is already benefiting Burkinabe athletics, regardless of what happens in Tokyo. Sano says a lot of Burkinabe sportsmen can look up to Zango, but also many parents want their children to participate in athletics now. This is a really positive thing for us, he adds. Sawadogo, for one, says Zango, has inspired him to aim for the Olympics. It's a dream of every athlete to go to the Olympics, he says. I'm aiming for 2024. I'm making it my personal goal. As Burkina Faso waits with bated breath to see if Zango brings home a medal, the triple jump final is scheduled for August 5th. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso.
Hi, this is Andre DeGrasse, three-time Olympic sprint medalist, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Andre, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. The Olympic Women's Triathlon will be held July 27th at Odaiba Marine Park in Tokyo. The Olympic Triathlon has three components: a 1.5-kilometer swim, a 40-kilometer bike ride, and a 10-kilometer run. Former world champion Katie Zafiris will be lining up for Team USA in the Olympic Women's Triathlon. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Katie tells Dan Friedel her Olympic preparations were slowed by the death of her father.
In early April, my dad passed away unexpectedly, and that was really hard. It's the biggest challenge I've ever faced in my life, not just with triathlon, but just everything. My parents are my world, and so that was really hard. And so it affected everything, emotionally and physically, and the plan, like training. So the first couple races in the season that I did, one being an automatic Olympic qualifier, that was 1 month after my dad died, and that one didn't go really well. It was challenging situations for everybody with COVID, but it was an extra challenge just being so soon after my dad had passed away. And I probably wasn't emotionally ready to be on that start line, but it was something that I felt like I needed to do. And looking back, I'm glad I did it. It's like getting the first race done without my dad.
Katie, I just wanted to offer our sympathy. With the chance that we've had to get to know you over the last year or so, it's sad news to hear when anybody who you consider a friend has a loss in the family. So we're really sorry to hear about that news. But glad to know that you're putting things back together. What has that been like for you to kind of get your foundation back?
Well, thank you, first of all, for the support, and also getting my foundation back. It was really hard in the beginning because I was trying to race and kind of make up for lost training that I hadn't done when I had gone home for like the funeral and everything. And so I just kind of was like treading water. And then once the last race, once that was completed, we went up to a high altitude camp with the group in Font-Romeu, France, and I felt like I could finally breathe because it was just like, okay, now I can train. I didn't know what was going to happen with Olympic selection at that point because the last spot came down to discretion, and Americans just have such a strong field of women, and I hadn't really proved myself in the first two races, so I was waiting for Olympic selection. But I was really like gaining momentum in training and feeling good mentally, emotionally, and getting more into a rhythm. So once I got that call that I got selected for the team, I was so excited and grateful for the opportunity. And for the last 6 weeks, I've had really good training, really consistent. We did about 3 to 4 weeks at altitude, and now we've come down to Banyoles, Spain, to be in more heat conditions. So today we just did in 34 Celsius, middle of the day, we did our hard run workout to start preparing and getting acclimatized to what we expect to be pretty hot conditions in Tokyo.
Right. Certainly Tokyo has a reputation in the summer for being a pretty tropical climate. We're joined on the Sunny Side of Sports by USA triathlete Katie Zafiris, who's just on the verge of heading to Tokyo to compete at the Olympics. And I did want to ask you a little bit about what that was like for you. Certainly, all athletes want to kind of set the standard on the field or set the standard on the track to give themselves a victory or a qualification for an event. What was it like for you to be waiting to hear from USA Triathlon that you would become a member of the Olympic team? It must have been quite an anxiety-provoking period of time while you were waiting to hear the news.
It was both really challenging, but also I think at that point, like having the races done that I could have done for this year also provided me a little bit of like freedom in the sense that I was like, I knew I couldn't do anything more at that point. And I was trying to play catch up before those races and in those races, trying to like show up and show that like I'm capable of doing what I did in 2019 and almost every year before then. And so like, once those races were finished, even though I wasn't selected, I was just like, okay, well, they know my resume. Like, I was able, like, they knew kind of what happened. They knew my dad passed away, and they knew I had, like, put myself out there in the races to give myself a shot of automatically qualifying. And though, like, the performances weren't what I feel, like, the results weren't what I feel like I'm capable of, I also feel like I knew the reasons behind it, and it was something, it's different trying to get ready after taking 2 weeks basically off training, getting ready to race in for races that are like back to back and not very far after my dad passed away, versus having now like 8 good weeks to train and prepare for Tokyo. So during that time, it was like hard to wait, but at the same time I was like, well, I knew my whole career I'd done what I
all I could do, it speaks for itself, out of my control. Yeah. Well, so what was the feeling when you got the word? How did it make you feel to finally, you know, you've been kind of climbing up this mountain, anticipating the chance to get to the Olympics, and then the extra year of waiting due to the pandemic? How did it feel to finally find out that you had been awarded a spot on the team?
It felt so good. I mean, I feel like I was relieved because as I was seeing how my training was going and like how I was feeling, and like I was very confident in myself, but I was like, well, it's up to the selection committee to see if they have the same confidence in me. And so like I was just so thankful that they did. And because I think as I got more to feeling like myself in training, I was like, oh no, like what if they don't? Yeah, I was just very thankful that they did. And I also know it was a really hard decision, so it's something that I don't take for granted.
That's former world champion Katie Zafiris, who will compete for Team USA in the Olympic women's triathlon in Tokyo on July 27th. And Katie spoke with Dan Friedel from Spain, where she trained before traveling to Japan.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
Because of COVID-19 fears, Guinea has decided not to send its 5-member team to the Tokyo Olympics. The Guinea team had yet to travel to Japan. It was scheduled to send 1 athlete in athletics, 1 in judo, 1 in wrestling, and 2 in swimming. Guinea's sports minister cited a rise in COVID-19 variants in the decision. In more Olympic news, before the opening matches in Olympic women's football on Wednesday, players on several teams took a knee in protest. VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. When the British women's football players took a knee ahead of their opening match against Chile, they were fulfilling a pre-Olympic promise that they would show their support for racial equality at the games. Their opponents quickly followed suit, and the gesture was later repeated by players with the United States, Sweden, and New Zealand at the start of their matches that same day. In the past, the International Olympic Committee has been staunchly opposed to any form of protest. Rule 50 of the Olympic Charter states that no demonstration or political, religious, or or racial propaganda will be permitted in any Olympic venues. The intention is to preserve the neutrality of the Games. But earlier this month, the IOC relaxed its guidelines. And on Wednesday, IOC President Thomas Bach asked for his reaction to the women athletes taking a knee on the pitch.
It is allowed. It's no violation of the Rule 50. This is expressively what has been mentioned in these guidelines.
Under the new guidelines, athletes in Tokyo are allowed to take a knee or similar gesture prior to the start of competitions. However, they could be sanctioned if any protests are made on the medal stand. That caveat points to one of the greatest political protests in Olympics history, when in 1968, American sprinters Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised their fists from the podium in support for human rights. In response to their actions, the two men were expelled from the Games. That 1968 protest remains an iconic moment in the history of the Olympics. And now, amid criticism of the Games taking place during a global pandemic, Thomas Bach says this year will continue a legacy of hope for the rest of the world.
These Games will also highlight that, perseverance of the Japanese people and the perseverance of the international community coming together here is a recipe, again, here I could only quote Dr. Tedros, is a recipe for overcoming a crisis and for addressing a crisis. So, after the Games, this message of hope will transfer to a message of confidence.
Bach referenced Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization. On Wednesday, Dr. Tedros addressed members of the IOC and reiterated his support of the Olympic Games moving forward.
Beyond competition, beyond medals and records, the Games bring the nations of the world together in celebration. A celebration of sport, a celebration of health, a celebration of excellence, a celebration of friendship and respect. But ultimately, they are a celebration of something even more important, of something that our world needs now more than ever, a celebration of hope.
The Tokyo Games officially begin on Friday without spectators in an effort to minimize the spread of the coronavirus. Positive infections continue to rise across Japan, and cases linked to the Olympics have topped 70. Three athletes have been forced to withdraw from the Games after contracting the virus. Chilean Taekwondo athlete Fernanda Aguirre, a Pan American bronze medalist, tested positive for COVID-19 after arriving in Tokyo. Dutch skateboarder Candy Jacobs, who was set to make her Olympic debut, tested positive inside Olympic Village. And Czech table tennis player Pavel Cyrilček also returned a positive test at the compound. Athletes who test positive are required to quarantine for at least 10 days, which rules the three athletes out of competition. Meanwhile, the South African men's football team was cleared to play their Group A match against host country Japan on Thursday. However, the men of South Africa lost their opening round fixture 1-0. We are less than 24 hours away from the Olympic Games opening ceremony in Tokyo. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Brazilian football star Marta. She scored two goals Wednesday in Brazil's 5-0 victory against China and became the first player to score in five consecutive Olympics. Marta is a six-time FIFA Women's Player of the Year, and she now has 111 international goals, more than any Brazilian player, male or female.
And that wraps up the July 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.